as many of you know, as all of you know, the Supreme Court took a decision following the August 8th vote to nullify the presidential election, which has then led to a lot of protests from both sides, well, from the Kenyatta camp and Jubilee. There's been a significant number of protests. It's led to Raila Odinga and NASA protesting the revised dates of the election and hosting the election under the same conditions as were there on August the 8th. There have been almost daily demonstrations of various different things around the election. So the rhetoric and the temperature seems to be rising in the build-up to what we hope is an October 26th poll, but there is no guarantee that that is still going to take place. So that is sort of my very short summary of what's been happening. Jubilee has been trying to push a new bill in Parliament, which will change how the electoral results are going to be counted, and they want to go back to a manual counting system as opposed to electronic, which NASA obviously is not going to go for, but they are going to struggle because they don't have the majority in the new parliament or amongst the new senators or governors. So that's kind of where we're at the moment. There is a bit of a debate about what happens if the election doesn't happen by the 31st of October, or the 1st of November, actually. Does Uhuru Kenyatta have to step down as president because he has no constitutional mandate to continue to be the president? Or the Attorney General seems to think that he will continue as the president until a new election date is called for, if there is indeed another date that's going to be pushed forward to later on in the year or next year. I think the elections have to go ahead. At the moment, NASA and Raila Odinga are contesting every single thing that is coming out of the Electoral Commission about the dates and when they want to host it. The initial original date was the 17th. To be honest, absolutely no idea whether it will happen on the 26th. But I do think that Jubilee has come out very strongly to say that, you know, the dates have been set. Raila won the court ruling and NASA won the court ruling and they wanted a new election and a new election date has been set. And frankly, if they don't want to show up for that election, then so be it. Then they'll go ahead without them. But what the consequences of that are, I don't know. I mean, the rhetoric, as you say, as I said and as you said, is really getting worse and worse now, which wasn't happening before the first, the August 8th vote. It was never this, it wasn't becoming this nasty and this personal. And while both parties have said they will accept, you know, they've accepted the Supreme Court decision and they'll accept the vote of the people, I don't think it's that easy. And the people that I have spoken to, and again, this is just purely my personal experiences of speaking to, some elderly Kikuyus in Nairobi, you know, big business people. They are very, very concerned. Very concerned about. They're not so concerned if Raila loses the election. They think that will lead to, you know, a few days of protests, maybe a couple of weeks of riots and protests, but will then calm down. Their worry is that if Kenyatta loses, the mood of young Kikuyus is very, very aggressive at the moment. And you know, between the Kikuyus and the Kalenjins, they're talking about wiping out the Luos once and for all. I mean, it's that kind of rhetoric that's happening, that, you know, now we've had enough now and we need to get rid of all of them. And this now might be the only opportunity we have to do that. So this is what is scaring a lot of people in the country. And it's not just in Nairobi, it's around, it's more so actually in some of the other areas. They've already also been reports over the last couple of weeks of roadblocks taking place and people being pulled out and having their IDs looked at to see what tribe they are. And this is a worrying trend because it happened in 2007 as well. people have to be a lot more careful now. Tear gas and things like that obviously are going to be used liberally by the security forces. But I think even the safety aspect of reporters that are doing investigative pieces, especially, is going to now be under threat. The rules have changed. The government is now getting a little bit more strong arm. The same kind of restraints are not there that were there before August the 8th. And I think they're not going to tolerate, you know, people sniffing around the wrong places, reporting things that are not favorable to them. I think there might be serious repercussions, probably more aimed at local journalists rather than the foreign correspondents. But I think if you're going to be, you know, in the same area, then you have to be very, very careful when reporting the riots and the demonstrations and events around that. There's a very good point they bring up about the protective gear as well. This was a question that was brought up after the last webinar, where, you know, it was okay for people to bring in protective gear, especially foreign correspondents were using it. But now I think since the last troubles in August, I think anyone who has got flak jackets and helmets must be sure that they carry the permits for those. I think it's very, very important. I mean, that crew that Sarai talked about was a KTN crew, and they had copies of their permits, but they were told they need the originals, and they were picked up on this pretext of not having the right permits to have a body armor and helmets and protective gear. So I think they're again going to use this. When we were going into Kibera on one of the days after the election results, when there was a bit of problems, we were told to take off our protective gear if we wanted to go in with the GSU teams that were there, and they told us to take off the gear, and they were using live ammunition, and we refused and said we're not going to go in. We're just going to stay out, but we were not going to take off our vests and helmets because they were using live ammo. So that's something that I think any crews, any broadcasters, correspondents, anyone sending crews in with body armor and helmets must have the proper permits in place, and please ask your crews to carry those permits with them just to avoid any problems, because they're just looking for excuses to arrest people or to make sure that journalists don't go into some areas to watch what was going on around the IEBC headquarters and the Supreme and the courts. This is where the majority of the demonstrations have been happening. But you know, once these start, then you know they start spreading around various parts of the city. The Ngong Road, the universities, any sort of areas that are populated with students are being affected by you know traffic and you know people marching. So there was some problems a few days ago on the new bypasses where they had they were burning tires, and they would block some of the underpasses that on these new highways that have been built going into Thika, also going out to Kiambu side. So you know it just depends on you know who's been taken in or who's been arrested or who's making noise or which area they're from. That seems to be where a lot of the demonstrations and problems are happening. Once the election happens, I think you know the places that I talked about in August before the August vote or in July are still going to be the flashpoints. Kisumu town, which Sarai talked about, Naivasha, Nakuru, Eldoret, the Mombasa, I think will be another flashpoint as well. If things get out of hand, and Nairobi, obviously. I've never seen it this time. And my worry is that a lot of Kenyans are not, especially those in the cities, are not kind of sticking their head in the sand a little bit about this. They are not taking this as seriously as I think they need to take this. There seems to be a lot of people seem to be relaxed that are, you know, just like the last one, things are just going to calm down and we're going to have this election. And I'm really concerned about that. The discussions that I've had with people, not just in Nairobi, but across the country over the last two or three weeks have scared the hell out of me personally. So, but that I'm hoping I'm very wrong. I'm hoping that, you know, I am being paranoid, but they've scared the hell out of me.